It's inevitable that the information developed in executing that grant according to the contract will be used to influence legislation and would thereby come under this prohibition. Because it's, you can't separate the person who carries the document to Juneau from the person who's paid to prepare the document and so forth. So in summary, I would say that I think the amendment should be defeated. I think we should prohibit municipalities and other grant recipients from using those specific funds for any purpose other than the purpose for which the money was appropriated. But then, having defeated this amendment, I would then suggest that we draft another amendment which would clear up the issue raised by the representative, which clearly will cause significant hardship and I don't believe is necessary. I'm sure the spirit of the municipal grant laws does permit us and does suggest that we should be able to use those planning funds to go to the next step of getting the money for the project. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with some of what the last speaker said, but my conclusion with regard to this amendment is different. And I think that some people may be missing the boat here, at least in my view, because I don't think lobbying is a bad idea. I think this body needs all the help it can get. And the more people we can have come down here and tell us what the impact of what we're doing is going to be on them, the better. So I'm not afraid of lobbying as a matter of principle. There are two situations, however, where lobbying with state money should not be allowed. The first is where that money is being used to lobby for more money. Right? Because you just get in a never-ending circle. You give them $1,000, $10,000, and they hire lobbyists for $10,000 to come down the next year and get $15,000. You shouldn't allow that. And you can draft an amendment that prohibits that. And the second type of lobbying that should be prohibited is lobbying that violates the specific intention of the grant. And several people here have mentioned that. This amendment doesn't say that. You should prohibit that. You should prohibit the improper use of grant money when it's being used for something it isn't granted for. Other than that, I don't have any problem with people coming down here and giving me information or trying to influence me. That's the way we make good decisions. So I would agree with the member from Haines that the legislation should read, as he suggests, that if a person has a grant, it should be limited to the purpose of that grant, and you can't lobby without it. But I think we ought to adopt this amendment and start from scratch. We can sit down and write a Section 2 that does what I thought the purpose of the member from Fairbanks was, but doesn't go so far as to prohibit and cut off all kinds of input to this legislature, because we need all the input we can get.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly do not believe that this bill cuts off input to this legislature. What I do believe, though, should happen is that when there's public dollars being used, those public dollars should not be used for lobbying this legislature, because the public dollars that are given for specific purposes. The specific purposes, generally speaking, are either to build a building or to enact a program which is not lobbying. So therefore, I do not believe that public dollars should be used for lobbying.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is not a new issue before a legislative body. Remember in 1980, we had the same problem, and the same problem began with legislators asking for specific evaluations of nonprofit organizations, and then the legislators turned it down. So eventually, someday, the problem is going to be answered, because we keep on asking that this agency be evaluated, that agency be evaluated, and we don't seem to want to follow the budget and audit recommendation, that division. I think they're doing a good, honorable job, and we all depend a lot on them. Secondly, the wording. It seems that some people may be thinking that the committee chair or the committee itself wrote this. No. The recommendation, the wording, came from the division, who has been trying to handle this problem over the past 6 years that I've been here, who sees day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, from the reports we have done, what the problem is. And they say, here's the solution, ladies and gentlemen. You pass this, we feel that you will have a significant impact on the way state monies are being used that you don't like, because you're the ones asking for the reports. And I think that the lady from Dillingham asked a proper question about studies. And I take a more logical point of view instead of my friend from Juneau, who got a little dramatic, I thought, and kind of dramatizing the pseudoism of freedom of speech, of freedom of writing, of freedom of thinking. In no way, shape, or form is anybody going to try to stop that. And when you ask the grantee for a study, for a report on hydros, on school evaluation, on lunch program, sure, that's why you paid that organization for that information, very valuable information. We give grants and we give money to the Department of Education to do the ADM study, do other studies, do the Mount Edgecombe study. We're not going to refuse it because it's state money. That's what they were paid for. That is not lobbying. Good information is not lobbying. I agree with the man from downtown Anchorage that lobbying is a good profession. And it's very, very valuable, and especially when lobbyists from different points of view both see legislators and say, we think of this on that particular bill, and we think of this. And so you have two organizations from different points of view helping you through their educated experience or through the people they represent to give you a point of view and give you information to make a valued judgment. What's happening in our grant program is that you have groups who are using those monies to enhance themselves. As the man from downtown Anchorage said, they get $10,000 one year and then they get $50,000 the next year and they keep on multiplying. And we don't know if the state's getting anything out of it. The opposing group, whatever the issue may be, doesn't have a voice that way. So I think that we should follow the recommendation for about the fourth year of the Department of Budget and Audit and follow through. They say we, the legislators, are the major ones for the misuse of the grant monies because we will not answer the problem through proper legislation.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we keep getting these impassioned pleas about why we need this legislation, and then we dramatically emphasize the problem. But what we're not doing is reading what it is we're defining as influencing legislation. You know, sure, we don't want people using their grant money to come down here and wine and dine us and spend a lot of money that way. And I guess that's the conception even on this floor of what lobbying is. But in the definition that this bill calls for, lobbying includes, and I'm just quoting from the definition that's incorporated in this bill, use of information, statistics, studies, analysis in written or oral form. Now, I'm not just making that up as a problem. It exists in the statute. If we don't adopt this amendment, we're going to say that you can't use grant monies to generate information, statistics, studies, analysis in written or oral form that this legislature can use. I know that that's not what you've got in mind. I know that you've got a real problem in mind and that you're trying to solve it. But the problem is, you're not solving it by incorporating this reference. You're not solving it by adopting the language that's in Section 2. So as my colleague from downtown Anchorage says, we should adopt the amendment, wipe it out, and start out fresh and do what I think all of us want to do. But, you know, just being defensive of Section 2 is not going to solve the problem.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make some comments or a response to the chairman of the HESS committee on some statements she made. There's one of the projects that was funded in past legislatures was like evaluation of local herring processing. So if they find out in Bristol Bay that this isn't going to work, then they're going to come back to us like we just passed legislation years back extending the herring stripping in Bristol Bay to this year. It's over this year. So if this study then says that if the evaluation shows that herring stripping or using the carcasses in Bristol Bay isn't going to work, then the nonprofit is most likely going to come back to us for legislation, and I think that's directly influencing legislative action.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the debate strayed around a lot. I wanted to repeat or reiterate my reasons for offering this amendment. One reason it has received a lot of attention is that the definition of legislative action under 2445 is too broad to put into this bill. If what we were doing is prohibiting the use of this money for lobbying under 2445, that would be an entirely different story, but we're not. We're prohibiting the use of any of these funds described in here for influencing legislative action. So the definition is, I think, at least clearly too broad. The other reason for offering the amendment, an argument that I think is pretty important, is that the amendment discriminates against smaller communities that have fewer funds to juggle and less creative accounting opportunities. What really that really means, in my mind, is that the smaller communities, and maybe it's the unincorporated ones, and maybe it's the smaller incorporated ones, will not have the same opportunity to influence legislative action the larger ones have, ones with more money. So I think it's unfair on that basis, the amendment. I agree with the chairman of the Budget and Audit Committee that we don't want to see grant funds used for lobbying. I think I even agree with the majority leader when she says that public funds shouldn't be used for lobbying. I, in fact, would support an amendment to this legislation that prohibited municipalities from hiring lobbyists. But that's not what this amendment that we have in front of us does, nor is it what the bill does. And I think that in order to keep the bill workable and fair, we ought to adopt amendment number 2.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 2 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
16 yeas, 19 nays.
House has failed to adopt amendment number 2. Representative Goff.
Brief at ease, please.
The House, please stand at ease. Order.
All right, I'll be quiet.
Are you ready for the question?
No. We need to read amendment number 3.
Will the clerk please read amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Lindauer. It begins page 1, line 29, and page 2, lines 1 and 2, and it should be on your desk.
Representative Lindauer?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we've ragged this bill around quite a bit, and it seems to me we ought to put it to an end. And I think the way to put it to an end is to put a period after the word state and delete the rest. The problem with this bill that's gotten us all going is, I think, not the words municipality, which will be taken care of with this amendment, but the next part, if the lobbyist employer is economically affected. That's the ambiguity. That's where we're going to end up having decisions by APOC. That's where we're going to have the possibility of misunderstandings. It's my understanding that the intention of this bill initially was that we would tell people, if you're going to be a paid lobbyist, then you can't serve on a state board or commission. Why don't we just put a period there and be done with it? And I might add that a great reason for voting for this, if you vote for this one, it means you won't have to worry about amendment number 4 because this will eliminate any need for it. So you kill 2 amendments with 1, so vote for this one.
Representative Boone.
Speaker, the amendment, move the amendment, please.
I move this wonderful amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Object. There is objection.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Malone?
No to yes.
Malone from no to yes. Representative Kopanen?
No to yes.
Kopanen from no to yes. Any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
14 yeas, 15 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 4 by Mr. Jaroff. Begins page 2, line 8, and it has been duplicated and placed on each desk.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Jaroff.
Mr. Speaker, I can't understand why the objections. I'm just, there's been some debate on this particular issue here, particularly with some of the communities that may find themselves not being able to participate for some reason or another, or having to go through an accounting nightmare, I guess, there if they wanted to try to shuffle funds around. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If there are problems within larger municipalities, I think we ought to go ahead and so state and exclude some of the smaller municipalities, which could run into some problems and maybe not knowingly send somebody down here on funds that could be designated as sources from somewhere else other than state, but may find themselves inadvertently making the wrong statement and thus creating problems.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, please open the roll. Has any other member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 21 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 4. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 5 by Mr. Gall, page 2, line 6. It has been duplicated and placed on your desks.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I alluded to this amendment in the discussion of... I'm so sorry. I'd like to move Amendment Number 5 and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Gall.
The purpose of the amendment is to clarify the question raised by the representative from Dillingham and supported by some other members of the body, specifically that some of our capital projects, which could be funded under the statutes named in the bill, include the development of information prior to, or often prior to, the funding of actual construction. Port facilities studies might be an example. Health facilities, planning and design might be an example, and so forth. Having once completed the work involved in implementing that appropriation, the municipality then physically brings to the Department of Transportation or HESS or the legislature or whomever copies of the information developed and presents them and says, on the basis of this, so will you please fund page 2, or rather phase 2. And that would, if I understand the arguments that were made on the First Amendment, that would appear to be a violation of the law if this bill were to pass. Therefore, I would suggest that we add to line 6, where it says that may not be used for the purpose of influencing legislation, if we add unless specifically authorized under the grant. And in that way, when a planning grant is given, it would be understood that that planning grant could be used once it is implemented, and I therefore would like to see you all vote for this amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 5 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
13 yeas, 22 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 5 Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 3.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 3?
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Lindauer, page 1, line 29, and page 2, lines 1 and 2.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
20 yeas, 15 nays.
House has rescinded its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 3. Question before us is Amendment Number 3. Are you ready for the question? Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If this amendment should pass, would that mean that we no longer have to worry about whether a municipality or a borough or an unincorporated municipality or borough or a village council or anything like that, or just straight across the board, everybody gets treated equal? Is that what that would say? And perhaps the maker of the amendment might help me with that.
It eliminates all references to municipalities.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Ward?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, from no to yes.
Representative Ward from no to yes. Representative Abboud?
No to yes.
Representative Abboud from no to yes. Any other member wish to change their vote?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote from no to yes.
Representative Fritz from no to yes. Clerk, may take the roll.
24 yeas, 11 nays.
House has adopted Amendment Number 3. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for House Bill 707, Finance Committee, be considered engrossed. Advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 707, Finance, relating to lobbying and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707 amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
27 yeas, 7 nays.
Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 707 amended has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to roll call vote on passage committee substitute for House Bill 707, Finance amended, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill Number 95, an act requiring certain legislative officers file statements of financial interests and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 95 has been under consideration by the Judiciary Committee, which recommends it do pass. Concurred in by Liska, Barnes, Hayes, Malone, and Bussell. Clarkson had no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 95 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill number 95, an act requiring certain legislative officers file statements of financial interest and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I notice that the effective date on this year is April 14th, 1983. Is that the intent of the legislation to go back to 1983, or would this, looking at the date of introduction, this was also in 83, would, I guess the question is, would this be something we want to consider changing or amending?
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I think the member raises a very valid point. They want to put an immediate effect, I presume, is probably what the intent of legislation is.
I don't think we can make this retroactive to April 14th, 1983, so I think the representative raises a very good point.
House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 95 be amended in Section 2, Line 21, to state this act takes effect immediately.
I think the amendment has to be in writing. Yeah.
Will the House please stand at ease? Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I move and ask unanimous consent I be allowed to withdraw my previous motion.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to move the effective date of this bill, and I'm going to recommend the members vote no, which accomplishes the purpose of the original motion. The bill will go into effect 90 days after passage.
Question, the question before the body is, shall Senate Bill 95 pass the House? Representative Zaroff brought up a very pertinent question, but if you're if everyone is ready for the question, if there's no debate,
we
are in third reading. Bill has been read for the third time. The question is, shall Senate Bill 95 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas. 31 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 95 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage of Senate Bill 95 be considered. Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I move the effective date clause and I recommend the members vote no.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for Senate Bill 95? Members may proceed to vote.
There's printers on.
Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
No yeas, 32 nays.
House has failed to adopt the effective date clause for Senate Bill 95. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 513, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to renunciation of rights in decedents' estates. The Judiciary Committee has had Senate Bill 513 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Bussell, Barnes, Hayes, and Liska. Representative Claxton had no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 513 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill number 513, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act relating to renunciation of rights in decedents' estates.
The debate.
Question.
Are you ready for the question?
Question
is, shall Senate Bill 513 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 513 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution number 56 by the Finance Committee relating to appropriations for program receipts. I have no amendments on my desk. The Finance Committee has had House Concurrent Resolution number 56 under consideration, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Bettisworth, Martin, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, and Fritz. Not concurring, Lindauer, Duncan, and Jaroff have no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Davis?
Yeah. Could I have a very brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Are you ready for the question, Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, I've thought about this bill a lot, and I'm going to respectfully vote against it for a reason. I'd like to tell the members why. It changes the current practice of identifying program receipts. Everybody here knows that the departments, as a practice, try to the best of their ability to generate program receipts in order to continue the current levels of funding or to justify expansions in their funding levels. If we take away from them a specific designation, just a type designation of program receipts, and we lump all that together as general funds, it's going to take the pressure off of all the departments to raise money from any place except the general fund of the state treasury. I would just assume that they continue to charge fees, tuitions, charges, or what have you, rents, as much as possible in order to minimize the pressures on the state's general fund. I think that what we're going to do if we eliminate these things and all these budget components is we're going to substantially increase the pressures on the general fund, and we're going to, in effect, remove the pressure and desirability of each of these fiscal units from generating program receipts. They won't be interested in collecting receipts. They won't be interested in charging them because they're not going to get credit for them. And even if we're going to call these general funds, what we ought to do is at least have them identified in some other way, such as related general funds or general funds related to program receipts from this BRU. There ought to be some breakout. Otherwise, these departments are not going to continue pressing forward for revenues. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 56 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Abood?
Yes to no.
Mr. Abood from yes to no. Representative Fritz?
From yes to no, please.
Representative Fritz from yes to no. Representative Liska?
Yes to no.
Liska from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
27 yeas, 8 nays.
House Concurrent Resolution 56 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring future homemakers of America.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that this citation be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Kenai Central High School problem-solving team.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
In memoriam, Ernest Stephen Pfaff.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar. And to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to clarify a motion that I made as soon as I find it. On House Bill 685, there is more than one effective date clause, so I'd like to at this time replace that motion so everyone understands. I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for House Bill 685. Loans be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I plan to replace the motion dealing with House Bill 7, an act relating to motor vehicles and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the adoption of the second conference committee report on committee substitute for House Bill 7 Finance, thus adopting second conference committee substitute for House Bill 7. Recommend the members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Conference committee substitute for House Bill Number 7 by the second conference committee, an act relating to motor vehicles and providing for an effective date.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move and amend that we take this matter up tomorrow.
Representative, there's objection, Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, this conference committee is so new that we don't even have it in our limbo file. In other words, this sheet right here where it says limbo in the House. Now, I've, you know, just asking just 24 hours to check this out. I've gotten about three-quarters of the way through the bill, and I need to talk to some other people about this bill, what it does, and I don't think it's too much to ask of this body for to bring this bill up tomorrow morning. And rightfully, this should be a courtesy request, and it should be granted.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, request that we deal with this tomorrow. I know that the majority leader has said that we would have this at the end of the agenda today, but we've had a very active debate on practically every piece of legislation that came before us, and unfortunately, I didn't have time to look at this in depth as I should. I don't like to cast a vote for something like this that affects practically every individual in this state without a study, and because of that, I would hesitate to vote yes on the measure until I know for sure what it says. Yes, those pieces of legislation have been floating around for a long time, but Mr. Speaker, some of us don't attend those meetings. We expect to see that bill come to the body and have a study of it then and listen to the debate. So I hope that, Mr. Speaker, I can ask your indulgence on behalf of some of us who think more slowly than others. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will withdraw my motion, not because some think slower than others, but because a courtesy has been asked for.
Is there objection to the motion to withdraw? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Phillips.
Speaker, thank you.
Further unfinished business?
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 95.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Malone for his vote on Senate Bill 95.
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, unless there's objection, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration be taken up at this time.
To objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read Senate Bill 95?
Senate Bill Number 95 by Bennett, an act requiring that certain legislative officers file statements of financial interests and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 95 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 95 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, do you wish that I move the effective date again and recommend the members vote no?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the effective date and recommend the members vote no.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for Senate Bill 95? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
0 yeas, 35 nays.
House has failed to adopt the effective date clause for Senate Bill 95. Representative Winty.
Requesting at ease, please.
Will the House please stand at ease? Demona. Representative Herman.
Speaker, I'd like to offer notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 707.
Representative Herman has given notice of reconsideration for her vote on House Bill 707. Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice on my vote on committee substitute for House Bill number 298, Judiciary.
Representative Locker has served notice of reconsideration for her vote on House Bill 298. Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee be allowed to waive hearing on H.J.R. 52, which is a constitutional amendment proposing amendment for biannual state budgets. Its next committee referral is Finance. Its sponsor is Representative Bettesworth.
Is there objection?
Objection.
Representative Malone.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that constitutional amendments should be at least discussed by the Judiciary Committee as to form, whether the substance of the amendment itself, I'm sure something the entire House and other committees want to look at, but I think that that committee should look at the bill, and I object the motion, and in fact, I prefer to see the chairman withdraw that motion, but I certainly can't support it.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, that resolution is scheduled for a hearing in less than 24 hours, and I don't understand why there is a motion to waive that hearing. It's been on the agenda since last Thursday. I was sort of looking forward to hearing why we need a proposed amendment. I may well support it, but I think the Judiciary Committee should consider constitutional amendments. It's on the schedule. It's been on the schedule since Thursday afternoon, and we're going to hear it in less than 24 hours, and I'd argue that the motion should either be withdrawn or defeated. I'd like to note nobody checked with me before the motion was placed either.
Will the House please stand at ease?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During the brief at ease there, almost every member of the Finance Committee and several other members of the legislature have expressed such deep interest in this thing, H.J.R. 52 that I'm somewhat surprised, so I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw my motion to waive H.J.R. 52.
Mr. Objection. Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd ask unanimous consent that Representative Winty be excused from the call from 11:30 a.m. May 4th through May 6th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Winty's excuse is requested. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to try to waive a couple bills from finance here. They both got zero physical notes. The one is House Bill number 546. It's harassments of persons lawful engaged in hunting and fishing and training. Be waived from finance, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Adams.
The second one I've got is a Judiciary CS, House Bill number 505, an act relating to insurance. This has a zero fiscal note. I move and ask unanimous consent that this be waived from finance.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
We got it, Charlie.
Further unfinished business? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to announce that the committee meeting scheduled for May 2nd to confirm member of the ATC will be postponed and changed to Friday, May the 4th at 8:30 a.m.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Health, Education, Social Services Committee is very privileged, Mr. Speaker, to have this coming Wednesday at their regularly scheduled 1:15 meeting in the same place, same time, same station. a Dr. Linus Pauling, who will be speaking to us. Conference on nutritional therapy for the treatment of mentally ill persons. We've solicited Dr. Pauling's attention because we do have a very important bill in our committee dealing with the mentally ill. Dr. Pauling is a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry in 1954. He's a Nobel Prize winner in 1962. He will be speaking on nutritional therapy, as I mentioned. Dr. Pauling conducted over 15 years of intensive research on the subject that I just mentioned and has written a number of articles supporting the use of nutritional therapy for mentally ill people. It's a subject that has been discussed by myself and a number of other legislators the past couple of years with health providers, and I believe that it will be advantageous for us to glean some of the information he'll be able to share with us. So the entire body is invited. We urge you to attend. If our room isn't large enough, I'd like to know it in advance so that we can move to a larger room. But it should be of great interest to the rest of the body, and I urge you to attend. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know how many people are excused from the body for this week and the visit of the Pope, but I wonder if you have an idea yet what the plans are with regard to sessions Tuesday and Wednesday and
yes.
committee meetings and such?
There are 21 members of the majority on the floor Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Everyone, there are no excuses of the majority past Wednesday of this week. On Tuesday, we have 7 members excused, leaving 33 here to do floor business. And on Wednesday, we have 7 excused. So there are 33 members minimum on Tuesday and Wednesday. There are 39 members on Thursday. No one is excused Friday. No one's excused Saturday. Tend to have a full calendar each day, and there is a good possibility that we will have session on Saturday. However, I'll try to apprise you of that by Thursday so that members will be able to make plans for the weekend. Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to inform the body that tomorrow morning at 8:30 in House Finance Committee Room, we will be in a conference call with Senator Stevens on the railroad. Now, there's been a lot of comment, a lot of conversation, a lot of talk about the railroad, and I hesitate to state, but I'm going to anyway. I think a lot of it is based on misinformation and misunderstanding. The railroad is going to be before us very shortly. For those of you who wish to be informed about the railroad, tomorrow morning at 8:30 would be an excellent opportunity to begin to getting up to speed on that piece of legislation.
Further announcements? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, can I inquire again? Is that in House Finance?
Thank you, Mr. House Finance at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. Further announcements? Special orders. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 1, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.